We're live.
Welcome back to Good Soup and Hoot Scoops.
Good Soup and Hoot Scoops.
Man, my hairline is like so sensitive from sunburn. Like, the rest of my face is fine, but like my hairline.
Weird, right there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's yucky.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Sounds very uncomfortable.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Right, did you know that humans eat more bananas than monkeys?
Like, the average human, or, like, humans total versus monkeys total?
I mean, we don't eat a lot of monkeys, so, like, it's pretty easy to figure out, but...
What? How do... We got to talk... What? We don't eat monkeys?
Yeah, we eat more bananas than monkeys.
Oh, fuck's sakes. I'm Ray.
I'm Mac.
And I'm Joby.
That was a horrible joke.
I thought it was pretty good.
Anyways, you flustered me. Welcome to this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody had
Tuesday.
Hope everybody had a good stacked.
Yeah, we're releasing
Monday.
A day late because.
Oh, that's right, because the holiday.
I don't know what is it. Family Day? What?
It's Victoria Day.
Victoria Day. That's what it is.
It's May long.
Yes.
And instead of,
I just know it is May long. I can't remember what the
actual instead of camping
was.
Or drinking or doing any of the usual May long stuff, we're recording
a podcast.
But
we also had Spec D round one.
How did it go?
Horribly. I mean, it wasn't horrible.
Did you punt a cone?
Yeah.
Sorry, Jovi is...
Jovi's in the middle. Well, not in the middle. Jovi was in the middle of sim racing. Now he's just watching.
He's watching his own replay.
So pretentious.
I'm studying. This is how you get better.
How did you answer with a more pretentious thing? Everybody that first meets Jovi, if you don't know our dynamic, Jovi's really intimidating. I'm not. So people always talk to me to talk to Jovi.
Yeah.
That's how it usually goes. And the amount of people that have told me that you are annoyingly egotistical, or like you have an ego, but you're annoyingly smart enough and good enough to back it up.
That's kind of the point.
Hilarious.
Do a lot of people
like,
say that?
Multiple people have said that.
Really?
To me. Yeah.
You're going to tell me who later.
This guy, yeah. Well, one of them was Michael. I'll say that on the air. But it's true. You do come, like, when you first meet you, you're like, oh, this guy's got a fucking ego. This guy talks a lot of shit. And then you get an alignment from him, and you're like, oh, okay, this guy. He kind of knows what he's doing, I guess.
And then he drifts a 100 horsepower Corolla with
no
handbrake.
And 4-gauge, no power steering.
No power steering, yeah.
Yeah, anyways. Round one was something.
Why do we have to move so swiftly on from me?
Unfortunately... Okay. Now you're getting the less fun side of egotistical people.
So when he decides to be a shithead.
Yeah. It was...
He is... Sorry to interrupt again. He is in such a different mood from yesterday. It's unbelievable.
He was ready to murder me yesterday.
He also only got 5 hours of sleep and started his day at 4:30 a.m., which is completely unrelated to his mood.
I am not angry, I'm just tired.
No, I'm not tired, I'm just angry.
Or I'm not tired, I'm just angry.
Completely unrelated.
Completely, definitely.
And today he's got the sillies.
Yeah.
Well, for right now, it's probably going to fade pretty quick.
Yeah, we're going to finish the podcast and he's going to go back to sim racing and be all business.
Yeah. No, standing on business.
Boys.
Anyway, so what happened at round one?
Marco shit the bed.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to the podcast as far as I know, so I'm just going to talk shit.
Tony does, and Tony's going to back us up.
Yep, 100%. I would like to mention one thing. Shout out to Tony. He said something really funny that was not acknowledged enough on the PA. There was two BRZs. Every single fucking car at Spec D is fucking V8 powered. Really bothers me. But
not every single one.
Not every single one, but
Marco
was
in.
Like,
yeah.
Alarming minor majority of them are V8 powered, which is quite annoying. But there was two BRZs at the front line, and Tony said there's 16 cylinders of BRZ ready to go. I thought it was hilarious.
There was another comment that Tony made that you relayed to us, and I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I don't remember. There was another one, I can't remember.
There was another one.
He also was talking to Brett and talking about, fornicating with arachnids.
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently there's a saying in Australia that's like, you don't fuck a spider, or you do want to fuck a spider or something. I don't remember. I don't know.
But we should get Brett in here to guest one time.
Probably, yes.
I can't believe we haven't done that yet.
Well, we're just kind of waiting until we have the casting couch.
Yeah.
And a little bit set up more properly to have, like, guests that aren't Michael.
Yeah,
And Casey.
Fair. I want to just hang out on your
bed. We got a large guest list.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Tony is included on that.
Yeah, for sure.
We're excited to get Tony on.
I know, I'm really stoked. Round one was, was interesting. It was,
Are there any, like, what were the good points?
Car didn't break. It was not a problem that was out of our control.
And not just that, but, like, the car didn't break, but it's also really dialed from last year.
It's
like,
performing really well.
Me and Marco have gone through some setup changes on the car and kind of discussed where we want to be with it, and it's hooked, the grip is there, we can play with the settings and we can dial in or dial out what we want.
Yeah.
Like, the car is at a level where we wanted to be at last year. And Marco is great for driving through problems, but I think maybe the problem is that when he
there's no problem.
There's no problem to drive through. Yeah. It's whatever, so
he has to actually focus on being good and not just, like, keeping it on track.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I don't know. Marco, you know, apologized to us, and it is what it is.
Everybody
racing.
Has an off day. Like, it's totally... I think it's a very big positive that we did not win because of something that was in our control, which was the driver.
Yeah.
And based off of at least last year that I was not at round one, I know that we had a multitude of problems that were completely out of our control and were car problems. And we didn't have that this year. Our driver just kind of shit the bed, which happens. Unfortunately, there's only 3 rounds of this event.
So there's not a lot to make.
So there's not a lot, like, he's going to have to kill it in the next 2 events.
He's going to have to win the next 2 events to,
kind of, but,
to pull it together, yeah.
Next weekend, he also doesn't, he said it's a poor excuse because it's a local track, but he's never really performed that well at this track. He's not super confident at this track.
Yeah, poor excuse.
Which is weird because it's local, but...
Yeah, but it's unnerving. Like, even driving on the sim...
That's a terrible... The first bank is
first corner
scary.
Is terrifying. And, you know, like, if anybody looks it up, Jesse's foot...
Yeah.
Jesse's foot.
Jesse's foot. Jesse's foot fetish.
Jesse's foot right in the wall.
Yeah.
He really did punt the wall, and it's...
And he didn't even go off that hard, and he destroyed the rear end of his car.
I haven't actually seen,
like,
any footage of that yet.
Oh, I'll have to dig some up later.
Yeah.
I think one of the photographers
there is a video of it.
Yeah, somebody got
it
for sure.
Yesterday. But yeah, like, it's a punishing course. And you're going at 130 into a bank. Like,
it's
scary.
Scary.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, I would not do that, but...
So how are we feeling about Northern Bout coming up this week?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. That is weirdly, Northern Bout's a bit more of a
higher stakes
because it's a $20,000 pot
for
the prospect people. So there's more on the line, weirdly enough, there.
I guess a better
And there's only one chance.
There's
going to be Southern Bout, but they don't correlate with each other. So
no,
this is
make it or break it.
This is a little bit make or break it right now.
So how's
for this weekend?
Maybe a better question is, how's Marco feeling about Northern Bout?
Pretty good.
I think good.
Yeah. We got a couple setup
changes. Even after Spectre, he was like, it is what it is. Like, he's got a good attitude. He's good at staying positive.
That's good.
And he was even saying, like, at the track, he was like, yeah, Northern Bout. Like, he only had one run on that course last year.
Yeah.
Before his car broke again.
Yeah.
But he was like, I like that track a lot.
Okay.
And it's pretty similar to what it was last year, so.
Hasn't, like, shaken his confidence or anything.
No, I don't think he's too shaken up. Because he was doing really well in practice, too.
That's what Jovi was saying.
Like, as soon as quali hit, he just, like, was not performing for some reason. It was really weird.
Lando Norris core.
It was very Lando Norris core.
Yeah, because, like, his last practice run would have been, like, a high 80, low 90.
Yeah, round. Like, he would have been really up there. Yeah.
And then, like, even in his first round, like, against Sean.
Yeah.
Like, had he not gone turn two,
if he was against
won.
Anybody but Sean, I think he would have won. But that was a tough
first battle. I think even...
Sean was on fire that yesterday.
But Marco's chase up until he went off.
Yeah, it was really good. He was on the door, like, he was, yeah. And even he stayed in it, like, even when he dirt dropped, he stayed in, he was still on him, like, it was...
And even with the dirt drop, there was some small discussion about one more time.
Yeah.
So...
I was really hoping for one more time, but...
I think it's fair to Sean, honestly. 100%.
Like,
you go off track.
100%. I was hoping for one more time, but that was Sean, for sure.
In my head, that mistake, like, a dirt drop on entry or something is one thing, but, like...
In the middle of the bank.
Yeah.
Like,
and dropping two wheels in, you know, like, you kind of
when you're chasing, like, as well, and the lead didn't drop.
If
Sean dropped as well, that would have been a very different story, but...
Yeah.
Sean didn't drop. No. Only Marco did. So, but it is what it is. That's how drifting goes.
Yeah,
you make one mistake on your run, and that's it.
That's it.
Because Sean did not make any mistakes. He was on fire yesterday.
Yeah.
He was killing it. That car is dialed. I want to talk about Brett.
Yeah.
He killed it.
He was doing amazing.
Brett Alexander, white E36 tire spot livery. I think the tire spot's the best sponsor.
Yeah, so yeah.
He has an LS something in there. He's like 390 horsepower to the wheels, and he sent Paul Gracie home.
Well, there's talk about who was going to do it.
There was talk about who's going to do it, and the rookie did it.
Hell yeah.
This was his first ever pro event in a severely underpowered car. And he won his first battle pretty heavily, I think, because I think Paul fucked up. Yeah, Paul went completely off. That was like 100% Brett's battle. And then Brett went against Gabe.
Oh, really?
Who was in a 700? I think so,
yeah.
700 or 800, somewhere in there, in a right below NASCAR level V8 86 with... so much money, like, and he got it one more time against him, which is like a win in itself. That was insane. He was on his door with like half the power.
Incredibly difference impressive. Between the cars too, like Gabe's,
like, huge FRS difference between the cars
is professionally built.
He's got three years driving that chassis in that car. Like, he's dialed that car in. This was Brett's first pro event.
I mean this in the nicest way. It's a homebrew car.
100%.
Like,
it's
really well
car.
Done, but it's you know, it's...
It's not professional.
No, he didn't show up with an enclosed trailer. Like, he had a tent, some tools, and a drive-on trailer. Like, he's not at the same level as Gabe, or a lot of the other competitors there, and he fucking killed it.
Yeah,
he was doing really well.
Do we know why Gabe is still in Spec D? Like, just with
the...
He
doesn't have his FD license.
He didn't get his FD license.
Okay.
And then he tried, I think, another event in the States after Spec D last year.
To try to get it,
and he didn't get it again.
Because I was going to say, his entire setup is, like...
He has the money to go to a level above FD.
Oh, yeah. And
he clearly wants to be in FD, and... has the money to be there.
I mean, he's off to a good start.
He got second.
Yeah, so
I think him and Sean are going to be pretty main competition this year.
Yeah.
And Matt won, and his car is dialed pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, he had that engine failure last year, and that's why he didn't do so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was pretty dialed last year.
It's going to be a tough year. It's going to be a tough year.
And Jason Webb's not around. I don't know.
I looked at his Instagram. I think he's in the States doing something.
That's what Joby was saying.
I think his car is under the knife.
Hmm.
I think, as far as I know.
It's expensive, though. Like,
yeah.
Oh, 100%.
There's not much money behind you.
And they're like, freshly moved to Canada, too, within the last, like, 2 years. Like, it was a pretty ballsy move to jump into doing Spec D last year.
Yeah.
When they, like, first moved.
And, like... there's not a whole lot of payoff unless you want to go, unless you want to and are prepared to go to FD.
I think if they were going to do events, it would be Northern Bout, Southern Bout. It would be the money events.
100%.
And I think he's not coming to Northern Bout because I think he's in the States right now.
Yeah.
But we might see him at Southern Bout. I hope we see him. He's cool. I like
Jason. Cool dude, yeah.
He's wicked. But, Yeah. I had something else to mention, and I don't remember what it was.
About Spectre?
Yeah, I thought I did.
You did mention that, like, the only upside to Marco getting out so early is that you could spectate the event and not work it.
Yeah, it was really nice, actually, to spectate an event. I don't know when I'll have that opportunity ever again.
And you know what? It was a really nice event to spectate because everybody was killing it.
Yeah, like everybody was killing it. Everybody was driving really, really well.
And not to shit on everybody that's ever driven in Spec D, but that is some of the best drifting I've ever seen in Spec D.
There was a lot of really good battles. There was,
very, very, very tight proximities.
Any of the top four people, I think, could have won that
event. Oh, yeah, it was anybody's top game. Four,
like, it was anybody's game. It was really sick.
That's very cool.
It was dope.
But, like, last year, you know, it was, like, 3-4 cars proximity. That was kind of the norm, like, all through the year.
Yeah.
It wasn't that tight. This year, it was, like, everybody was running everybody's door.
And nobody really had mechanical failures, which was cool to see, too.
Yeah.
Colson, it was not, like, the only major one was Sean's supercharger belt.
Yeah.
Broke twice.
And then Jesse...
And so he had a battle... Where he had to chase with like 300 horsepower, and then he had to lead with like 300 horsepower, which was unfortunate because I do believe that he had a very good chance at winning the event, but that was his battle to get into the finals that he lost the belt on. But I think that was the only major one.
Yeah,
other than crashes.
Had that crash. Colton had a light tap with the wall, and Greasy had a power steering pump failure at one point, I think.
Oh, yeah, but that was because of an incident. That was because of a touch. With the other 881 car.
Yeah.
But overall, it was good. Everybody was driving.
Yeah.
Which was wicked.
Weather wasn't too bad.
But yeah, it was really nice. I just kind of checked out after Marco lost his first battle.
Yeah.
Which was kind of nice to just spectate and watch an event. And they're fun to watch. I highly recommend you all go to drifting events because they're fun to watch.
They are very fun to watch.
They're not working it. They're wicked.
Especially this year with how good everybody's
driving. Yeah, especially with how everybody's driving. Like, it was really sick.
We're in the BC area. We're in Mission on the...
We're in Agassiz. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It's in my calendar. Let me pull it up. June 14, 15, no, sorry, 13, 14, because it's a Friday, Saturday, for Agassiz, and then...
Is that before Mission?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Mission is the final. So then July 11, 12 is Mission. If you're anywhere near the coast, I highly recommend you come out and watch.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah, would be very cool. Changing the subject... I have a proposed traffic law to change.
Let's hear it.
I think you actually might agree with me on this one.
Oh. Why do you sound so surprised about that?
Because it's not something dumb or related to speed.
Okay.
I think a four-way intersection where there's stop signs, even the three-way intersection, is whenever everybody at an intersection has a stop sign, if there is nobody else at that intersection... That stop sign should be considered a yield.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm like? If you're driving up to an intersection and
there's
a four-way,
there's nobody for miles.
There is nobody else at that intersection. Why the fuck do I? And no pedestrians, obviously.
Yeah.
Why the fuck do I have to fully stop? Why can't I just like? I'm not gonna blow through it,
but
like,
slow down.
Why
take
can
a
I not?
Peek and be like, peace out.
Exactly. I'm not saying I don't do that. I'm not saying I do that, but why would that be considered illegal if one did just roll through a four-way intersection when there's no other cars?
Because I think it's the point of discipline. Like, because how often do you realistically properly slow down for a yield?
All the time.
A lot of people don't.
Well, yeah, they're going to get T-boned.
Yeah,
that's
like,
on them.
That's the point. It's like roundabouts, right? Like... That technically you're meant to stop for them.
Not if it's a yield.
Yeah, but like...
If there's... Like, you don't have the right of way. If you're entering a roundabout, you don't have the right of way. You have a yield.
Yeah, but like, how many people actually properly slow down for it when they don't see anything to their left?
I'm not a lot, but that's a yield. That's the point of a yield.
But
you don't have to stop.
A four-way is way more blind.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, and I'm not saying you blow through it. It's still a stop sign. Like, you can't make a separate sign.
For a stop yield.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, if there's a cop that's watching a four-way intersection, they should not pull you over for that.
And so we're getting exclusive road rules just for Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I already have my own road rules as a G owner.
Yeah.
I was talking to Gary, because Gary's been doing comedy. If anybody, listeners, I think our four listeners all know that, but Gary's been doing comedy, and he made a joke about G owners. I don't remember what it was, but it was funny. And I was like, we should have a fucking comedy night for car people. Like a car show comedy night. There could be some really fucking good sets that only car people would understand. Like, yeah. You can't make a G pedophile joke to regular people.
To the crowd.
Like, that has to be car people.
Yeah.
But it would be fucking hilarious. There's a missed opportunity there, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you ever see fucking Soulcorp X the Moon, you know what's going on.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
I do want to go back to the moon at some point. I keep saying I want to go back, and then it just, like, never works out. I'm always
That's a fun spot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tacey's got a bit, she said, that she wants to do. She was going to do last week, but she didn't.
Oh.
So.
Like on a Friday?
On an open mic night. Yeah.
Oh, but you're gone this... Is she going to do it this Friday?
I don't think so. She needs me there because I laugh at everything. And super obnoxious laughs. I'm not doing this if you're not there in the crowd. Fair. Yeah. Anyways.
I'm like the worst person at the crowd because, like, I have resting bitch face and I just kind of, like, small chuckle.
Except for last time when
when you talked to a comedian.
Yeah, that wasn't by choice, though.
Stop griping about it. It was funny as fuck.
Also, it was. You didn't have to tell him you were British.
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Well, just by looking at you, he said, is there any British people in the crowd?
Yeah, you did raise your hand.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be a dick and ignore the guy. Like, it takes a lot of balls to stand up on stage. I wouldn't do it. So, like, I'm gonna, you know, give him some support.
Well, then stop bitching about it.
Exactly.
Okay.
F1. Did you watch? Have you watched the highlights or anything?
No, I watched most of the race.
It was a good race.
Or like a fair amount of the race with Joby yesterday morning. I missed
the start,
but I saw like the start replay.
Fantasy on P1 and P2.
What? Shut the fuck
Suck
up.
Suck it, Mac. Or sorry, P2, P3. Sorry.
I was going to say.
Joby's still in first. Joby's still in first. But I knocked Mac out of P3.
I was going to say, why?
And
P2 don't be in taken.
Who's on your team?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Basically, what happened is Red Bull brought upgrades.
They did.
Just for Max.
Still, though, Yuki killed it.
Yuki did
fucking
really good.
Crashing in quality to points. Still, it's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's all you could have hoped for him doing that. Anything else would have been, not a miracle, but would have been, like, insane.
Would have been, like, Max level.
Yeah.
A pretty gnarly crash, too. Like, it wasn't,
he'd be shaken up after that, for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't anything like, Zhao's crash at Silverstone kind of crazy, but it was, like, wow, that's, like,
actually a crash. Like, that was a crash, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird amount of engine failures too in the exact same spot.
Yeah,
they're just two engines just blew up.
I mean, to be fair, one of them was a Haas.
True.
So
it was a Ferrari engine.
Yeah.
Also, fair point. I felt really bad for Kimi at his own race. Get an engine failure. That sucked pretty bad.
I really wanted to see Albon like P3. He got P5, though. So
what a move he tried there, though.
Oh,
fuck,
he had to go for it. If you no longer go for a gap that exists.
You are no longer a racer driver.
Yeah.
The irony of you saying that at that corner.
Is that where he...
Yeah.
Oh.
Max's overtake was insane.
Yeah.
On the
so
first
good.
Corner, that was insane.
He just, like, I don't know where...
I don't
just,
know how he did that.
He just found, like...
He just found grip.
Like, just I found grip, found extra power. Like, it that literally was
insane.
Was like he was behind him and going, and then, he just put his foot down. And he was like, bye.
That was crazy. Oh, that was so good. Crazy. That so was good. Awesome.
I felt a little bit disappointed, like, at first. Like, obviously, we are a Max household. Like, we're happy that...
Yeah, we are Max fans, for sure.
And we're happy that Max won. Like, that's great, getting out of the slump. I was really excited for an Oscar-dominant year. I didn't realize how excited I was until he lost the lead, and then I was like...
Oh. I mean, he was still P2. He's still leading the championship.
He is.
This is still... And the McLarens are fucking quick.
Yeah.
Like, after McLaren pitted, and they were, like, bottom of the field... And, like, I know they were on fresh tires and everybody else was not on fresh tires, but they were fucking screaming through everyone.
And to be fair, like
him and Lando were just fucking passing and passing and passing, like...
And to be fair, Oscar's strategy was suboptimal. He kind of got shafted there.
I think Piastri is the only one on the field that can... And not just, like, beat Max in the championship. He's the only one that I've seen that, like... really can fight Max and can like pass him.
Yeah.
Like Lando clearly it's not the car, because Lando fucking really struggles with fighting Max. Piastri, like, was that last race?
Last race when Lando was talking.
Walked him.
Well, when Lando was talking in the post race interview, and he's like, yeah, it's always a struggle fighting Max. Like, you either crash or you don't pass. And Piastri's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Because he fucking walked him. It was so sick. That was an incredible pass.
It's because.
It was incredible.
Piastri is the new.
Honey's sleeping.
And barking in her sleep.
Piastri
is the new Iceman. He just, like, he's unflappable.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
awesome.
It's fucking sick. It's gonna be
a really fun season, I think.
Yeah.
As long as what happens usually doesn't happen, where McLaren comes out really strong in the beginning. Well, no, McLaren's usually
the opposite. Ferrari starts strong and shits the bed. McLaren starts shitty and they always upgrade and get good.
Yeah.
Mercedes are just flatlined through the whole thing.
But they've been doing pretty good.
Yeah, they're just bottom top team. They're like a P2, P3 team.
Watching Kimi and Lewis fight is really, really fun.
Yeah. It's so good.
So good.
Oh my god, I think it was last race with Science fighting Hamilton.
Yeah.
All the memes about remember what he took from you. So good.
That's one thing we gotta do is give Williams credit. The car is working, the drivers are working.
Yeah, Williams
double points.
Killed it. Double
fifth
points.
Fifth and eighth, I think.
And they qualied well too.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, that was awesome.
Yeah, that's got so kind of
screwed with traffic and
I think that pass should have been Albon's. I think he was ahead of the apex.
Well, they changed the rules again. They changed the regulations on overtaking. Like who gets priority of the apex.
Yeah.
It's now the passing car has to have a mirror. Like, the front wheels of the car being overtaken has to be in line with the mirror of the car.
Yeah, it's axle to mirror.
Oh, okay.
It's not axle to axle. It's axle to mirror. So it's kind of sucks.
It was a really good attempt, and I'm glad that he went for the
I'm glad that he went for really it. Yeah.
He got it back in the end.
And he did get it back. But that was a wicked move.
I was
really excited.
I was really rude.
Really wanted Albon to get that pass. That would have been fucking awesome.
I want Oscar to do well this year, obviously. But I was really hoping for the McLarens to just take each other out.
So then Albon
on the podium.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
You've always been an Albon stan since day one.
Albon's just, he's got really good aura. He's a really nice guy. He's
genuinely good dude.
Like, he's really good on track. And he just...
What is with good dudes and having shitty moms?
His mom's not shitty.
I thought it was... Didn't she go to jail?
Yeah, but
it was necessity.
Oh, okay.
Poverty.
Okay. I did not know the full story.
She's a really good mom. She's there for most races.
Okay.
Yeah, she's very supportive of her kids. Very shitty situation that they were in.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's more complicated than we know.
Okay.
Yeah. They touched on it a little bit in the early seasons of Drive to Survive, but there's probably interviews out there with him.
I need to rewatch seasons of Drive to Survive.
If you put Albon in the Red Bull today, do you think he would fare better than he did in 2018?
No. I think it would be the same. It's for Alex, he's very influenced about who he's around.
Yeah.
And Red Bull is so hot, cool.
So toxic.
Not toxic, I would say. Like, maybe
some leadership. We haven't seen Horner get fired like the rumor mill was
saying.
Yeah.
But he can't get fired. He owns, like, most of the team. So, like, I wouldn't... Some of Red Bull might be toxic, but I don't think overall it is. But it's a very hard place to be.
Yeah.
While it's, like...
Max's teammate is a fucking daunting thing.
Yeah. And, like, you know, Yuki's high energy, he's erratic, he's, you know, a bumblebee trapped in a bottle.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he can thrive there. He's got the energy.
Thrives under pressure. Well, and he's been with the...
The family since...
Yeah.
Since day one.
Yeah.
And, like, he knows and accepts his place as Max's number two.
Maybe that's what the Red Bull needed, was a second driver that... had been in V-carb for a long time.
I mean, that's the whole point of V-carb, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but, like, every other V-carb, like, driver that went from V-carb to Red Bull, which is pretty much every Red Bull driver, was there for, like, a season at most. A
season or two,
half
yeah.
Half season.
Yeah.
Like, and then just immediately went to Red Bull. Whereas
and
V-carb...
And then cracked under the pressure.
Yuki was, like, he's been there forever.
Well, yeah, because, like, then he got too good, and they were like, well, now he's... Now he's going to be the guy to train the younger guys to go to Red Bull.
Yeah. I still don't know if it was the right move, because look at fucking V-carb shit in the bed now, because they don't have a team leader.
Like, well, Hadjar did just fine this weekend.
Hadjar's killing it, for sure. But, yeah. Like, still, like, they don't have a leader. Like, Lawson can't improve, because he's supposed to be the guy with experience.
Yeah.
And he's shit in the bed.
Yeah, he, like, is technically a rookie.
When you're not performing, there's no one to pull you out of that. Like,
yeah.
There's no coach there. There's no experienced driver to lean on.
At the same time, Yuki's more than earned his promotion.
100%. He has, like, absolutely earned that promotion. And I'm glad that it's not turning out the way that I thought it would.
Yeah.
Because I thought Yuki to Red Bull would have been the end of his career.
Yeah, and it seems to not
be
that way.
It seems to not be doing that, which is good.
And,
but
I mean,
I'm a little upset that V-carb is kind of shit in the bed, because I like their team. I like Hadjar a lot.
And, like, obviously
he's doing well right now, but I think as soon as... Hadjar hits a slump.
It's all over.
Like, I don't know how he'd get out of that slump without a team lead. Yeah.
And, like, two rookies at a team is always risky. Like, look at Haas 2021.
Super risky, yeah.
But, like, sometimes that's just how it gotta be, and
yeah.
You gotta step the fuck up. Like, there's a lot of young talent fighting to get into F1, and you can't always
yeah.
have a more senior driver holding your hand, making sure that
yeah,
you do it right on track. Like, I know Lawson is like, on paper, he's a rookie, but he does have, like, race experience. Like, he was there for half a season last year, and he
yeah.
did race for Red Bull for a few races, and, like, he's
yeah.
been
and
part
he's
of
been
the family.
He was doing Formula Japan.
Or Formula Euro?
No, what's it called?
But he's been racing.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
been racing open wheel. Like, he's...
What's the form? I can't remember.
But yeah, but he does... It's not like he has no experience.
No.
So, like,
I'm really upset about Lawson. I know he's probably one of the most hated drivers on grid.
I hope they keep him for next season.
I really was excited for him.
I was so excited.
I was really fired up.
But yeah, sometimes you just gotta dig the fuck in and just
yeah.
make it work. You're not always gonna have an older brother to, like, 100%. Hold your hand through it. Like,
yeah.
Figure it the fuck out. Do you want to be here or not?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, I hope Lawson... I would like to see a Lawson redemption arc if the F1
I would too.
If the F1 script
really
writers
like
are
to see
listening.
That. Yeah. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I was really excited for him. I'm happy for Hadjar though. He seems also like a good dude.
Yeah, Hadjar's killing it.
Yeah.
He's doing really well. He's awesome.
Where did he finish yesterday? Sixth? Seventh?
I don't remember. I'd have to look at the
He was in points though, wasn't he?
Let me see here.
I believe
Monaco next weekend.
Monaco next
That'll
weekend.
Be fun.
Did you see the interview with Leclerc?
Yes.
They were like, did this weekend, like, make you more hopeful for next weekend at Monaco? No.
Hadjar P9.
P9.
Yeah. Why did Albon drop below Hamilton?
Oh, I wonder if you got a penalty.
There was a safety car infringement, I believe. I could be wrong.
Yeah, there was multiple cool.
There was also a wasn't there an unsafe release for somebody too? I don't. It wasn't. I don't think it was either of them. But I think there was a there was an unsafe.
It wouldn't surprise me because looking at the shots from the pit lane during the I think it was the first VSC, the pit lane was hot garbage.
Yeah.
There was George. I think it was George running into Behrman.
Was like millimeters from rear ending. Behrman.
I think he touched.
Did he touch him?
That's what the commentator said.
Came
that
flying in.
He gave him a little smooch.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was any damage, but he.
But it was that one where somebody got an unsafe release in front of Behrman.
Well, if you look at the cameras, there's like three cars that pull out at the same time in front of each other while there's traffic.
Yeah.
Like that, it was crazy.
Fun times.
I should watch the highlights. Yeah, I watched like bits and pieces of it because I was like getting up and.
I'm pretty...
Then I had to get ready for work, and then I think the race was 63 laps. I left on lap 62, and when I got to work, our regulars were there watching the post-race interviews on his phones. So, like, I walked in the door, and I was like, and he's like, yeah, Max won, whatever.
I always forget that the majority of people are not Max fans. Whenever I talk about F1 with strangers.
I feel like...
Casey's friend. Sorry, I don't remember your name. I'm horrible with names. I hope you're listening.
Jay. Jill.
Nope.
Those are the only two that I know.
None of them. Ebony. Just met her. She like worked at the fruit stand with her. She's one of like the kind of more side characters.
Mid-tier
like,
friend?
Not mid-tier friend. Like a good friend. I'm not trying to talk shit here. She's just like less connected to us.
What about her?
But I randomly showed up at Leo's. Because I thought we had plans to have lunch, and then apparently we did not.
Oh, okay.
Well, Michael and I did, and then Michael didn't show up, and then I had lunch with Casey and her friends. But she's into F1, and I told her about the podcast.
Oh, sick.
And I know she followed us.
Oh, sick.
So, if she's listening, hello.
I feel like at work, we get a surprising number of F1 fans. Like, a lot of people that come into Broken Yoke are wearing F1 merch, and I feel like it's a good mix of Mercedes, Red Bull, and McLaren.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of... It's always dads that are into Mercedes.
Yes.
It's always dads.
Always.
With their children.
Yes.
Every single time.
Yes.
I
think Mercedes fans are groomed into Mercedes fans.
Yeah, well, they're heavily autistic.
Everybody's a Ferrari fan.
Everybody wants to be a Ferrari fan, but nobody likes to suffer.
Yes.
Every now and then there will be, like, a Ferrari... like merch, but a lot of the time it's people who have Ferrari merch just for like the history and the nostalgia of Ferrari. But then I actually try to make conversation with them about F1.
And they don't know shit about
No,
Ferrari.
they're not actually no. like active F1
no.
fans. They just like love the image of Ferrari.
Yes.
That's what it is 90% of the time. McLaren
yes.
fans are always young
women.
And always women.
Yes.
Yeah. There's like one or two
Thanks,
dudes.
Lando.
Literally. There's like one or two dudes that are really into McLaren and will come in wearing McLaren merch, but there's a lot of girls. And then Red Bull is kind of everybody, a lot of dads.
Yeah.
But every now and then there'll be like, it's always young, awkward dudes. Like,
yeah.
Quasi autistic.
They're
kind of just.
They're sim drivers.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. And
like,
sim
drivers and real drivers are the ones that are Max fans.
Yeah. I'll be like, oh my god, I love your shirt. And they'll be like, There was one guy the other
yeah.
day that was like, he was really cool. He was also like, I don't know if he was a dad, obviously, because he didn't have children with him, but he was like a bit older. And he was wearing like a MV1 shirt. And I was like, sick shirt, dude.
Yeah.
And then we talked about it a little bit. And he was like, because it was Saturday morning when quali was happening when I was at work. And he was like, did you see quali? And I was like, I saw the crashes, but like, I haven't
yeah.
like watched it properly.
Yeah.
So we chatted a little bit. He was really cool.
I'm pretty disappointed that Alonso didn't finish in points. I was
yeah.
really fired up over.
Yeah, because he qualified well, didn't
quali. He?
He
was
yeah.
P6, I think, or
He's
something
up,
like
yeah.
that. He was up there. I just remember because we showed up to Spec D, and Tony came over, and he was like, Alonso! And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I looked at the results. What are you talking about? And then he showed me the results, and we were both getting fired up about Alonso and Albon and Sainz being up in Q1.
There was a truck parked outside work yesterday with the license plate Alonso.
What?
I mean...
It was him!
He was there!
He was there!
I have no idea if it was F1 related. I don't know whose truck it was. There's the building next to us is under construction, mm-hmm. so there's a lot of dudes that come and go. And it was parked over towards there. So, like, and obviously Alonso is, like, a name that people have, so.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I don't know. But I just, it was Alonso, which was cool. I was going to say, Aston is just kind of there this year.
Yeah.
They're not really making any kind of waves.
You know what's bad when Stroll is your number one performer?
I hate to say it, but Fernando is up there in age.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, he's put his time in.
100%.
I mean, it's not like Aston was ever a top-tier team. Like, they had a good, like, 5-6 race run a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, they've always been a midfield team.
I think they got some weird internal stuff going on. Because I feel like...
Probably. Have you seen them?
Yeah,
with the Stroll family in charge, and yeah there's gonna be some weird shit going
on. They're just continuous rumors of them selling the team.
Yeah,
and I can't imagine that's very good for their production of a car and doing well in races.
Well, Lawrence Stroll probably he's owned the team for 4 or 5 years now. He's probably just got bored and he's like,
yeah,
you know, we did this for a bit. We haven't won yet. On to the next.
Let's go fucking buy into a different sport.
Literally.
My son a tennis racket.
We're going to see Stroll playing for Liverpool next year. Yeah. Like,
What's that one sport that you like playing?
Pickleball?
Pickleball, yeah.
Oh, yeah, pickleball. That's what it was.
Pickleball player.
On the topic of other sports, I know neither of you are very avid hockey watchers, and this isn't a hockey podcast.
I've been weirdly paying attention to it.
Me too. I'm since living in Edmonton, I'm getting deeper into hockey.
I'm forced to like hear about it at work a lot because Marco's super into it.
Yes.
And Corey and Fred.
We watch it at OJ's, obviously.
Yeah, you guys have it on the TV all the time. My mom started watching it.
Interesting.
Really out of left field.
I mean,
for her,
because
but
this is the first time in like 15, 20 years that we've had three Canadian teams go this far into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, two of those teams got knocked out this week.
Yeah, kind of why she's been fired up. She's like, she's just rooting for any Canadian team.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of the conversation. Obviously,
the Oilers are through.
The Oilers are through. And obviously, yes. Being at Edmonton, that's big talk. So a lot of the conversation at work and with people is until yesterday. Because yesterday, Toronto lost to Florida. So Florida moves on. Toronto does not. But before that happened, everybody was like, who would you rather see, like, make it to the finals, like Toronto or Florida? Because we lost to Florida last year. It'd be really embarrassing to lose to them again.
Damn.
But it would be really cool to beat them in the finals.
Yes.
But also, if it was Edmonton and
double Canadian team.
A double Canadian final
would be awesome.
So fucking
awesome.
Sick. But anyway, there was one moment in last night's game, which was a terrible dog shit game. No bueno. We had a table convince us to put the sound on, because at OJ's, like, the policy is we only, like, put the sound on for Oilers games.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, would you put the sound on for this game? And I was like, I'll see what I can do. It's not an Oilers game, so it's technically against policy, but also, like, it's game 7, and the Leafs might be going on.
Canadian,
like, it's,
and, yeah.
So we put the sound on, and then, like, halfway through the third period, they were like, never mind. You
turn the sound off.
Just turn it off.
It was
bad, but anyway, the whole point of this segment, did you guys see the ref getting absolutely face-fucked by a stick?
No. That sounds awesome.
It was...
My favorite part about watching hockey is yelling gay things at the TV. My favorite thing. Every time there's a fight, I'm just... Kiss him! Kiss him,
dude!
Kiss him on the lips.
When two or three of them are fighting, but then the rest of the players like buddy up to like prevent them from getting, and they're just like standing there like hugging each other. I'm like, oh my god, they're friends!
And then they like smash each other into a wall.
It's like watching fucking aggressive cabas.
Anyways, I really like that.
No, it was.
What?
It was 13 seconds into the second period, and it was right off the face-off, and a ref kind of got backed into the corner against the wall, and he caught the backswing of a stick, and it...
Oh, there's so many jokes there.
And it took his helmet off.
Damn!
And fucked up. It looked like... I haven't seen, like, any videos online, like, since the replay at the game, but it, like, fucked up his... It looked like it hit his nose and his eyebrow. He was down on the ice for like 10 minutes. They brought a stretcher out.
Damn.
And then they took him away, and there was the most blood I've ever seen on the ice. Like,
damn.
It looked like a horror movie. Like, you could see, like, he was still kneeling on the ice, and his hand went up to, like, grab the sideboard, and his hand was covered in blood.
Oh.
Like, it was fucked up. And, like, the entire crowd in the, like, in the arena, you could hear everybody just going, like, oh. And then, like, in the restaurant, like, we were pretty full, and we had, like, a volleyball team, like, a group of, like, 35 people in there, and literally the entire restaurant was just like, oh, ew, that's so much blood, what the fuck, that's awesome.
I've changed my mind, I want my steak cooked really well.
Really well done.
I did feel kind of bad. There
no
was a couple
marinara sauce with my mozza sticks, please.
Yeah, there was like a couple of like families with like grandma, grandpa, mom, and dad, and their little girl that were like having family dinner, and I was like, so sorry, you guys.
Two things from that. One, the juxtaposition of hockey players to soccer players when it comes to injuries.
Oh, dude.
Fucking hysterical.
Well,
they will get their fucking hand chopped off and they'll keep fucking playing hockey.
I've actually been listening
They'll get flicked and they'll be on the ground crying in soccer.
Well, I obviously, Jovi can maybe chime in here being an Englishman, but I obviously don't know a whole lot about soccer, but I've been listening
Football.
I've been listening to a podcast recently where one of the hosts is an avid football fan. So I picked up a little bit of knowledge through his like little 30-second recaps. And from what it sounds like, the clock doesn't stop for very much, like in football or like American football or in hockey. Like, you know, if somebody gets hit, like there's an injury or whatever, like the clock stops and they don't resume play until like the issue is dealt with.
Yeah.
But in football, you can correct me if I'm entirely off base. It sounds like the clock just keeps going.
Yeah, the clock keeps going.
They kind of want to waste as much time as they can.
Yeah, if you're not doing well.
Interesting.
So, like, in the podcast host that I've been listening to, he said that they have a player on their team who is really good at running out the time and being fucking dramatic about injuries, and it's a strategy. That's why they do it.
I hate that that's a strategy.
Because
they should change the fucking rules.
Yeah,
that's dumb.
It's the stupidest thing. But it's not. I guess it's not just that soccer players are pussies. It's like an actual strategy.
It's
like,
just Crashgate, but it's legal and in soccer.
Yeah,
I mean
they are pussies, but I just want it on the record.
Yes,
I'm kidding. Maybe, but. No, it's an actual strategy. It's not. It's Whereas in hockey, like if you get hurt, the game doesn't go on until it gets dealt with.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the only thing I can give soccer players credit for is that they have to run for like 90 minutes or more.
It's just straight cardio.
They're crazy athletes.
Yeah.
But still pussies.
Yeah.
But crazy athletes.
I'd hate to see them in a fender bender.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh,
God. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Fuck.
They'd hit a curb. They'd, like, curb their wheel. And, my neck!
And there's a memorial there for the next week. Fuck, dude.
Okay, one other...
Yeah, what was your second
point? ...sport-related thing that's not F1. The fucking... If you don't live in Edmonton, you have no idea what the fuck we're talking about. It was against Vegas... They scored. They won the game, but they scored at the very end of the game at 0.04. Or 0.4 seconds was when the puck crossed the net, like right at the buzzer. And a bunch of Vegas businesses bought billboards in Edmonton and just displayed 0.4 on them and just like talking shit. It was hysterical.
It was so
good.
That
is so... I love the rivalry between cities. And then we beat them in the next game. And unfortunately, I don't think anybody here is rich enough to spend, I think it's like $250,000 for 90 minutes or 90 seconds on the Sphere. But somebody photoshopped the Oilers on the Sphere. So funny. I love that rivalry.
So good.
Like, obviously, I'm on the Edmonton side, but the fact that they bought billboards
to
talk shit to us is so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So funny.
Oilers go on to round 3.
Whatever that means.
Western Conference, it's semifinals.
Yeah.
We're in the semifinals against Dallas.
Okay.
Which I think it was the same mashup that we had last year. It was almost the Jets. I keep forgetting I have to text Keisha and talk shit at her. Because she does this thing I found out last year where every NHL playoff season, as soon as the playoffs start, before any games happen, she just picks one team and they're her ride or die until they either win or get knocked out.
Mm.
And last year, she picked the Florida Panthers, who obviously went on to beat us and win.
Yeah.
So I texted her this year and I said, hey, like,
who's your team?
Yeah, who did you choose? And she said the Jets. And I was like, you're a bitch. But they got knocked out this week, so I'm going to text her and be like, so.
Suck it.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
Nice.
Yeah. That's I will say, I love the hockey vibes. Everybody's having a good time getting riled
up. It's pretty fascinating how much it changes the mood of the city.
100%.
Like, pretty crazy.
It's a different place during playoff season.
Yeah. I didn't know that, like, we were used to that in small town BC for, like, our small town teams.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was always the talk of the town.
It's the thing to do.
And stuff.
Like, when I was a teenager, like, are you going to the ice game this week?
I didn't realize that translated to big cities,
mm-hmm.
where it's the same vibe. Like, it just, it changes everybody's mood.
Every business you go into, and, like, at both my jobs, obviously, we have, like, a uniform. During playoff season, wear Oilers shit whenever you want.
Yeah.
Like, you just get a free pass. Like, wear Oilers shit all the time. There's
crazy.
People just wearing jerseys going about their daily lives. Like, not even, like, in the first two rounds, it was, like on game days, people would be wearing their stuff. And now, like, in the second half of round two, and now that we're into round three, it's just, like, even though we're on the break between series, they don't play again until Wednesday, like, people just wear all of their Oilers stuff all the time. Like, 60% of the people you see on the street will be in Oilers gear.
I think bringing this back to car-related stuff, I think we should conduct an experiment somehow where... Because I think that if you have those stupid Oilers flags on your car,
mm-hmm.
like Marco's got on his LS, I bet you'd get pulled over less. Or you'd get... If you were to get pulled over, they would be more lenient with you.
Probably.
If you had
Oilers
shit on your car.
I would believe it. I don't know how we can empirically test that.
We can do it like the old Misfits video. You remember that old Misfits video? I think it was Misfits. Where they got, I think there was two or three of them, and they were like, okay, the first person to get a ticket wins. And so they just went to the highway and just started fucking bombing. And they see like a speed trap and they just fucking fly past it.
Unfortunately, that also wouldn't work in Alberta.
No, probably not.
Because once you're on the highway and you're cooking.
Yeah.
Like, the speed limit on the highway is, like, $1.50, I think.
Pretty much.
The unofficial
speed
limit.
It's 110, technically, but, like...
As long as it's under 2.
I have gone past a cop at 150, and they did not bat an eye.
Allegedly.
No.
Allegedly.
When I last drove between Edmonton and Calgary, like, my cruise control was set to 140, allegedly. And, like, I was, like, in traffic. Like, traffic was just flowing at 140.
The Alberta impound law is very different from BC.
Yeah, because in BC, isn't it 30 over?
40 over.
40 over.
So, like, 30 is safe.
Yeah.
Alberta, it's, like, 60. Like, you get a fucking heavy ticket if you're going, like... No, I think it's 70, actually.
Yeah.
Like, you get a heavy ticket if you're
going, like,
50
over.
But it's not an immediate impound.
No.
And, like, that's the one. That's,
so you could
in my mind, that's the one thing you gotta be really worried about.
A ticket, like, you could pay.
Money
fine,
is
whatever.
Money, but, like...
It comes and goes.
If you're on your way somewhere and you get impounded, there's a problem.
It's gonna fuck your day up.
Yeah, it's gonna fuck your day up. What were you gonna say, Jovi?
I can't remember now.
Now that you have a car that you can do highway speeds in.
There
Pretty
is,
quickly, too.
Yeah.
There is one bit of car news that we haven't touched on yet.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up.
Okay, perfect.
What is it?
Well, last week, Jovi looked at me and he said, I have a surprise for you.
Oh, yeah! I forgot that was this week. Yes.
Happening sometime this week. And I said, okay. And I started to guess. And he said, no, don't guess at all. Like, I will cave. I can't keep it from you. I was like, why the fuck did you even tell me in the first place? If you don't want me to talk about it, if you're going to cave that hard. But that conversation happened at, like, 11 p.m. in bed. And so I fell asleep immediately and forgot about it. And then, like, 2 days later, he was like, oh, your surprise should be, like, coming to fruition sometime, like, today or tomorrow, but it's kind of gone tits up, like, I'm really stressed out about it. And I was like, I'm sorry? I don't know how to comfort you. Like, I can see that you're stressed, and I don't know the right thing to say because I don't know what's happening. And he's like, yeah, I'm just super nervous. Like, I really want it to work out, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, I do too, but, like, I don't really know what it is. So then Tuesday night, he had to drive the Soar home. So then we, like, went back to the shop to get the Corolla, came back. And then I was like, should I start cooking dinner? Or, like, is there a reason that I shouldn't? And he's like, I don't know, is there? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, if you bought us, like, if the surprise is, like, you ordered Indian food for us, like, I'm not gonna get halfway through cooking dinner and then the fucking Uber driver shows up at our door, like, and he's like, oh, no, like, it's not, like, dinner related. And I was like, okay. And then the doorbell rang, and I was like, is that for me? And he was like, I don't know.
Stripper.
Firefighters. Of any and all genders. He went out to the door and he was like, yep, it's for you. So I went outside and there is a tow truck dropping off a S13 hatch in our driveway.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, brother.
No more vert. I don't remember what episode it was, but I would like to go back to the episode where I said Jovi will be getting a hatch and selling the vert this summer.
And he said, no.
This was way sooner than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. It was always in the plans. We've always said that cars that land on a lap are better than cars that we go out and buy.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
And like we kind of talked about it because Jovi, I think we mentioned it on the pod, but Jovi has a line on another Beams or has purchased another Beams or is in the process of purchasing another Beams.
He's traded for a Beams. We just have to go pick it up.
Yeah.
Which we're doing
end of the month.
Not next weekend, the weekend after.
Yeah.
We were talking about how he's going to put it in the S13 because he already has one Beams Corolla and he doesn't want another one because it's been done. But, like, it's kind of been, like, a discussion, like, if a coupe or a hatch, like, show up, like, we would rather do that, like, would swap, like, all the good shit out of the vert and put it in that, yeah. But, like, none of them were really, like, showing up at, like, the right time or for the right price, and, like, anyone that did pop up is, like, rusty, which is what we're trying to avoid, so it kind of got to the point where, like, well, I guess we're building the convertible, even though neither of us like the convertible, and it's sketchy, and we need to cage it.
I like it!
Because it's the only S chassis that doesn't look like an S chassis.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, now we have a hatch in the driveway, and next summer we'll have matching Beams-powered pop-up equipped cars.
You know what we're doing? Yesterday we were fucking putting the gold front clip onto the hatch in the driveway.
It's the third body that it's been on.
And we put the coilovers on. Well, we swapped the front subframe.
Yeah.
And then I put the body panels on. And Jovi's looking at it. He's like, I need to lower it. Like, there's no fucking engine in it. You don't need to set up the stance with no fucking engine in
it's
it.
It's gonna look cool down.
It has
driveway.
A flat tire.
It looks cool in the driveway. It doesn't. It could be fully fucking stock suspension and it still looks cool in the driveway. Also, it's gonna be in the driveway and not in the garage for like 2 weeks. And then it'll be in the garage. Like, you don't need to adjust the coilovers for it to sit in the driveway.
Have you even done the rear subframe yet?
No.
Yeah, maybe start there and then.
He also, yeah.
Because right now it's got flat tires on it, so it's pretty low.
When he told me, which I'm assuming would have been the morning after he told you that you had a surprise coming, he walked into my room just grinning. And he's like, I got Mac a wedding present. I was like, is it a 240 hatch? Like, completely joking. Just... He's like, yes. I was like, what? What? What do you mean? We're back. We're so back. Old Jovi's so back.
We're so back.
Oh, we're so back.
I've been holding pots.
Random
like...
shit showing up on the driveway. I'm fucking, I love it.
No, this is the last one. This is honestly the last one.
This is not the last one.
No, it's not.
our buddy Jay Pollux, who helped facilitate this deal, we were standing in the driveway, like, shooting the shit.
You have a 240 hatch minus a hatch.
Yeah. if anybody has a line on a trunk with the glass intact for a 240 hatch, we would appreciate that.
Why does Pollux need a new hatch?
Because he's going to mint one. and he bought a kooky wing, and he doesn't want to drill holes in his mid one in case he doesn't like it.
Okay, so you can't take his old hatch.
No.
But if he doesn't like it, then you could take the hatch off this card. If he doesn't like the wing.
Potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
But yeah, so he helped facilitate this whole deal
yes.
with Jovi, and we were shooting the shit in the driveway. And he was like, man, like, this is a great reaction to having a tow truck drop some shit off on your driveway. Like, if I tried this, I'd be in deep shit.
Yeah.
Also, the tow truck driver, he was really cool. Like, he was very efficient, which is cool, because we were blocking traffic. It was, like, 5:30 p.m. and all our neighbors are, like, getting home from work. And yeah. we live in a cul-de-sac, so like
our driveway is not the best for dropping shit off.
No, so the tow truck was just completely blocking yeah. traffic. There is no other way to get to these people's houses. There was a line of traffic just parked watching him try to fuck around.
That's awesome.
And like our driveway is sloped, and so he was like trying to, obviously the back of the tow truck was sloped and it just created this V, and the car yeah. is low to begin with. But also on flat tires, so it's, like, extra low, and there's yeah. a tow hook sticking off the back.
Mm.
So trying to get this car off was a whole process,
nice.
And our driveway may have sustained a couple of bruises from the tow hook.
That's okay.
It was a whole adventure.
In real car news, tomorrow is going to be a weirdly huge day for car news, says the Autoplan.
Autoplanet? Or Autoplan?
The Autoplan.
Okay.
Apparently that's a...
Okay.
I don't know. That's
so we don't actually have any car news to talk about?
Nope.
Just tomorrow.
Just apparently tomorrow.
Tomorrow there will be car news.
Apparently tomorrow there will be...
So when this comes out, there is
huge. There's apparently, and I quote, a weirdly huge day for car news, which is a weird headline, but
I'm kind of curious.
Keep your eyes peeled,
yeah.
folks.
Keep your eyes peeled. I did have one thing to bring up that I just remembered about at the end of the podcast. It does involve, it is slightly about my hatred for 240s. That's not really a hatred.
I was going to say, hatred is a strong word.
I'm just leaning into it to piss people
off.
Oh,
okay.
And this is what I was talking about when it comes to, I'm not of the generation that 240s were
made for.
Were the it car, or the car that you wanted. And it was from... Fuck, I don't remember his name. He's not a very public guy, so I'm not gonna, like, give him a huge shout-out, but,
Like a friend of ours, or like an internet person?
We kind of know him. I've never actually met him in person. He's a friend of Triple S that ended up moving to Elko / Fernie.
Oh,
and
okay.
And so he knows some of the people that I grew up with now, but he was also a friend of the shop. Like, I found him because we followed him on the Triple S account.
Yeah.
He had mutuals with, like, people I grew up with in Fernie. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
But he posted on a story a picture of his old white 240 with a little blurb that said, I remember being in high school and wanting an S13 so badly. I worked at a landscaping job and saved my pennies and took out a small loan from the bank to pay the difference. I was so happy. I'll never forget the feeling of accomplishment getting this as my first car. Created so many friendships that I still have to this day. The real true catalyst of my love, passion, and enjoyment for Japanese automotive and culture, something that won't ever change for me. Which was a nice sentiment about a 240.
That you disagree with?
Well, no, I don't. That's the part that I don't disagree with.
Yeah.
But that's the part that I'm missing, that I don't
have. You don't
have
that connection.
They've always just been overpriced rust buckets to me.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. So I get it. But aside from the 240 part, that is a very nice sentiment about someone's first tuner car.
Yeah.
Because it was the same thing with my WRX. If I didn't buy that WRX, I would have never met you guys.
Yeah.
I would have never met anybody. Like, it would have... My life would be completely different if I hadn't bought that car that I wanted.
Yeah.
So that was the real reason I was bringing that up. It just happened to be a 240.
weird question.
Yes.
Do you think... you would still be with your girlfriend at the time if you had not bought that car?
No.
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 No, that wasn't...
No, that was... There was a lot of final nails in the coffin.
A lot of other things.
Before she got...
Unrelated to the car?
Unrelated to when she got mad at me that my head gasket blew.
There weren't screws in that coffin. It was fucking head bolts.
Yeah, there was a lot of... Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of bolts in that coffin before then.
Anyway.
Yeah. But keeping on the subject of 240s really quick, we are going to be seeing arguably the coolest one in Canada with one of the coolest drivers in North America on the weekend.
Oh, Brandon Strong.
Brandon Strong. He's going to be at Northern Bell.
Why don't you just suck our main competition's dick more, bud?
The car is
sick.
He's
dope. Like, he's dope. He's a really good driver.
I appreciate a lot of the drifting community.
He is the proof that you don't need power to compete.
You don't need power. Your car can look sick as fuck still, and you can drive. Like, Animal Style is really making a difference for North America, and he's part of them. And I appreciate it.
I wish we could see Brandon doing Specty events.
Yeah.
But he's way too busy and above that.
He's KDF
stuff, like.
He's purely KDF. Keep drifting fun. Like,
yeah,
100%. Even Julian from Animal Style, it's taken him, what, almost 15 years of drifting to even go pro?
Yeah.
And he's more than good enough for it.
Yeah.
But he just never really felt like it until recently, you know? Like,
it's a dumb thing to go pro in, because there's no money.
Yeah.
And you just spend way more money to do it.
And it's like
it's when you can have just as much fun at grassroots events. Arguably more fun because people are less uppity because they've spent less money to be there.
It is a weird thing to compete in.
There's no world championship for it.
It's all regional.
Yeah. Like, the only benefit is driving an FD. Yeah. And then actually, like, having sponsor dollars and stuff.
D1 has money too.
Yeah, D1 has money.
And European guys are starting to bring
money. In North America, FD is the only real thing to strive for, because it's the only thing that'll pay off. It's the only, like, big series.
But also, like,
actually, like, a lot of money on the line.
But you have to be fucking good to make money, because it's so fucking expensive to go. Especially,
it's
like,
unbelievable.
As Canadians, like, as Americans, it's expensive, but, like, for any of us,
like,
to actually go down there and do face the exchange.
On
and,
a
like,
heavy budget, we are $100,000 to run a year Specty.
And FD.
On a heavy budget.
Yeah, that's scrimping,
like,
and saving. That's...
Yeah.
That's
which is a lot
that's
of
Walmart
money.
Brand
that's
FD
a
is...
Lot, that's a lot of fun. And that's, like, we're not gonna win.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We're just gonna be there.
Like, just,
which,
just for the
to
sake
be fair,
of
like,
there.
Being there at FD is, like...
Very
better
cool.
than winning Specty, in my opinion. Like,
more payoff.
When it comes to, payoff and sponsors and people seeing you and...
The exposure, but...
The exposure and everything, but...
But it's really something that you have to keep the momentum going. Like, if you're only going to do it one time just for shits and giggles, you're not going to reap any benefits from it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you got to be all in.
And
make it work. And if not, you got to eat a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And... get a second job and start paying that debt off. Because
it is an interesting sport. But that's just over an hour.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Go buy some Soulcorp merch.
Go...
Follow us all... You already follow us.
Follow us in all the places. Follow Mac in all the places and donate to my fundraiser.
Oh, yeah! The Sick Kids Need Margs!
Sick Kids Need Margaritas. That's become the tagline of my fundraiser. You might remember last episode or the episode before, whatever the fuck. We mentioned that I am doing this thing where I run 5 miles every day to raise money for the Stollery Children's Hospital. It's kind of become a running bit that I'm raising money to give margaritas to the sick kids.
It's
and who
really,
knows?
It's a really funny bit.
I think that we should give sick kids margaritas because... if they're gonna die anyway, they might as well have some coconut tequila before they go.
Or you could donate money so they don't die anyway.
Yeah, that's the real point.
And
I'm
then
just...
they can grow up to be of legal drinking age in wherever they are, and then they can have
and who knows, they might even serve you a mug.
I love the fact that... I'm not gonna say we, because it's you. You are the one... You are in the position of power... to the point where you can make jokes about people drinking underage. I called people cucks. The language you can use while talking about sick kids in public and it's acceptable is really funny. Really funny.
I think it's because it's one of the most non-controversial issues on the face of the planet.
Yes,
like, 100%. Every human being can agree that... children deserve to be healthy and happy and cared for.
I don't like kids, and I agree with that.
Yes. Yes. Even people who don't ever want children, who despise children, who don't want anything to do with children, who want to live completely child-free lives, can agree that children deserve to be happy and healthy and cared for and not be sick and grew up to drink coconut margaritas, and like one of the most worthwhile pursuits of humanity currently to donate time and money and resources to is like curing diseases that ail children and helping children lead long, happy lives. And that's why you can say shit like calling people cucks for not donating and talking about how we're raising money to let sick kids drink underage, because everybody knows that at the core is an actual
good issue. What the fuck is beeping?
It's my Casio watch.
Why?
It's always beeped at that time for a long time.
10 years, every day, that watch
109.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it drifts a little bit.
Mm. No, it's from my night shift days.
Oh, is it? Yeah. What happened at 109?
That's when I had to get up.
Oh, not 1 o'clock?
No.
Not 105?
I can't wake up at normal time.
Yeah. What's it like being autistic?
So yesterday, sorry, one last story before we go. Yesterday, I woke up to Jovi kissing me on the cheek, and I was like, and he was like, I'm taking your car. And I was like, what? He was like, I'm not going to whisper anymore because that's terrible for a podcast, but he essentially
whispered.
Yeah, he whispered, like, I can't sleep, so I'm going to go to the shop and see if we have, like, supplies there and, like, start my day and go, like, mountain balance and tires. And I was like, what time is it? And he was like, 4:30. And I was like, Jesus Christ. So I was like, okay, well, I mean, I work at 8:30, so, like, I do need my car back by then. And he was like, no, don't worry, I'll be back. So then a couple hours later, he comes in, he's like, babe, are you awake? I was like, what the fuck? He's like, I'm ordering Wendy's. Do you want any? I was like, what time is it? He's like, oh, it's like 6:30. I was like,
and this was the day that he was not tired. He was just angry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then he ordered us breakfast. I got up to a hot breakfast, which was very nice. And he made coffee. And we were drinking coffee. We got to, like, drink coffee and watch the Up fundraise because I worked, like, a little bit later than I usually do. Mm. But then we're, like, halfway through the race and just chilling on the couch enjoying our morning. And he's falling asleep with his cup of coffee in his hand. I was like, make sure you go set that down before you...
We got home from Specty, and it was me, Michael, and Jovi, and we were hanging out on the couch, and Jovi just fell asleep, which was pretty expected.
Yeah.
He let out the craziest moan I've ever heard in his sleep. He, like, moved, and he's like... And me and Michael just looked at each other like, what the fuck was that? What is he dreaming about? Holy shit.
He does that every now and then. Not all the time. He doesn't usually talk in his sleep. And I think he's only ever said, like audible words maybe once or twice the entire time I've known him.
I talk shit in my sleep.
That's amazing. Every now and then, though, he'll just be really, like, moany and groany. He'll be like,
God, this was sexual. I don't know what he was dreaming about. It was wild.
needed some cheering up after the day y'all had.
Yeah, apparently. On that note...
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Follow us and do the things.
Donate to sick kids.
If we don't upload podcast posts like we did last week, there's still probably a podcast.
Yeah. If we don't,
we will post about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So just always assume Monday at 10 a.m., unless it's a stat and it's Tuesday at 10 a.m., there will be a podcast
episode. I know our track record isn't great.
It's kind of tough right now because, like, all we're posting is podcast posts, and the podcast posts are just kind of meme posts. So it's a weird juxtaposition of our Instagram. I'm trying not to just fill up the SoulCorp feed with pictures of Honey in the middle of podcast recording.
But she's so pretty.
She's so pretty, I know.
But now it's summertime and we can actually take, like, car pics again, so.
Yes. So hopefully SoulCorp Instagram will be a lot more active.
Yeah.
But point being, always check for podcasts Mondays at 10 a.m.
Even if we don't post.
Even if we don't post.
Also, I don't think anybody actually gets
it. All of us are usually working at 10 a.m. on a Monday.
Yeah.
So it's...
It's a lot of texting and be like, who can post? Who can post?
Yeah.
I
am admin of 4 different accounts.
Donate to sick kids. Bye.
Donate to sick kids.
Bye.
Marks, bye.